Today's reading begins in Acts chapter 10, verse 1. Acts chapter 10, verse 1. At Caesarea there was a man named Cornelius, a centurion of what was known as the Italian cohort, a devout man who feared God with all his household, gave alms generously to the people, and prayed continually to God. About the ninth hour of the day he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God come in and say to him, "Cornelius." And he stared at him in terror and said, "What is it, Lord?" And he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have ascended as a memorial before God. And now send men to Joppa and bring one Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging with one Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had departed, he called two of his servants and a devout soldier from among those who attended him, and having related everything to them, he sent them to Joppa. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. And he became hungry and wanted something to eat, but while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, do not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once into heaven. Now while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask whether Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And they said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. And on the following day they entered Caesarea. Cornelius was expecting them, and had called together his relatives and close friends. When Peter entered, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter lifted him up, saying, "Stand up, I too am a man." And as he talked with him, he went in and found many persons gathered. And he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. So when I was sent for, I came without objection. I asked then why you sent for me." And Cornelius said, "Four days ago, about this hour, I was praying in my house at the ninth hour, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, your prayer has been heard, and your alms have been remembered before God. Send therefore to Joppa and ask for Simon, who is called Peter. He is lodging in the house of Simon, a tanner, by the sea. So I sent for you at once, and you have been kind enough to come. Now, therefore, we are all here in the presence of God to hear all that you have been commanded by the Lord.' So Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Truly I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all, you yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word, and the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. For they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. Then Peter declared, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to remain for some days. Well, this is a story that you're probably very familiar with, having read it many times, having heard lessons preached on it. But it's really good news. This was the beginning of the church being opened to the Gentiles. Peter had to be convinced. The Jews had to be convinced. And so the Lord set out to do exactly that. Could the Lord have just spoken directly to Peter and said, "I'm going to let the Gentiles in now"? Sure, he could have. But in the way that the Lord approached this, in giving the vision to Cornelius, giving the vision to Peter, giving this vision to Peter that tells him, you know, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," all these animals that they had refrained from in the past. Peter and the Jews needed to understand that a change has occurred. A change from that which they followed under the Old Testament, the law of Moses, specifically not associating with the Gentiles, to now what God has made clean do not call common. We also should realize that Cornelius is exceptional. Cornelius is a God-fearing man, though he's not a Jew. Where did he get that from? Where did he learn to fear God, give alms, and make prayers? Obviously, there's been some influence in his life that brought him in this direction. Someone has taught him something. Yes, as Paul points out in the book of Romans, that there was the possibility of the Gentiles knowing God. But I read this and I look at his association with the Jews and having a good report among the Jews, that's probably been some of the influence as well, that some of these Jews have talked about Jehovah. Again, that's my supposition. I don't know that for sure, but nonetheless, Cornelius is in this position in which he becomes the first Gentile to enter into the church, to enter into a covenant relationship with God through Jesus Christ. But the convincing was not done. The vision about the sheep and the animals was not enough. Peter comes and still seems to be reserved, seems to be holding back a little bit with Cornelius, even though he does begin to talk to him about Jesus. Yes, he makes that statement, "I understand that God shows no partiality, and that anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him." But Peter needed to be fully convinced, the Jews that were with him needed to be fully convinced, and those that were in the church that would hear about this needed to be fully convinced. And so the Lord does something exceptional here. The Holy Spirit comes upon these Gentiles, and they begin speaking in tongues and extolling God. This did not make them apostles. This was not the same as the apostles received on the day of Pentecost. This was a sign to the Jews that God was going to accept the Gentiles who were obedient in faith toward him. So when Peter says, "Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" he's simply talking about God bestowing upon them, not making them apostles. And they still had need of being saved, being baptized for the remission of sins. And so they did, and he remained with them for some days. In tomorrow's reading, we will get into Peter reporting all of these events to the church. Thank you for listening. Please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.